past week, we read Parshas Balotzva. Parshas Balotzva, in many ways, serves as the transition point, the turning point to the rest of the Torah. If a person looks from a bird-eye view to the five books of the Torah, each sefer has its own definition, each sefer has its own overall theme. For instance, a person thinks about Sefer Bereishis, and often Chazal gives us what the theme is. Sefer Bereishis is known as the book of the Yashar, the Yesharim, even though within Bereishis is creation of the world, creation of man. It's probably even more about the establishment of the Avos as the Or LaGoyim, as the ethical light, the ethical pillars to the world, the establishment of that which Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the Shiftei Kah brought to the world. That is the theme of Bereishis. Sefer Shmos, the theme, as Chazal says, is a Sefer Bula, but even more than just the idea of the Exodus, even more than just the physical Geula, as the Ramban alludes to, that part of the Geula is the building of the Mishkan. Part of that larger theme, the motif of redemption of Geula, is the establishment of the nation, taking a group of disparate individuals, taking a group of Avadim, transforming them into the Am Hashem, taking them from a nation of people who were dependent, who felt inferior, to transforming them, to allow them to stand at Har Sinai and to build the Mishkan and to speedily go into the land of Israel. And while many various passages, mitzvos, narratives relate to this transformation, at least to me it seems that a person would have to identify one pasuk where that transformation was most seen. It was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu standing in the Yam Suf, Ma titzak elai, why are you sitting here crying? Why are you sitting here davening? Daber el ha'am v'yisa'u, just tell, speak to the nation and move forward. Don't stand in front of me as a passive group of people just fresh from their abdus, but take your destiny into your own hands, become a nation, become people that are capable of going into the land of Israel. That is the theme of Sefer Shmos. The theme of Sefer Vayikra is once we have an Am that has received the Torah, once we have an Am that has been removed from Avdus, once we are a nation, so the question is, what does a nation represent? What is the theme of the nation? And of course, the theme of the nation is that of Kedusha, whether it's separating out people, the Kohanim, who would have specific responsibilities, who would be the flag bearer, so to speak, of this mission of Kedusha, whether it's separating pieces of the land, whether it's separating laws like Shemitah as far as Kedushas HaMakom, whether it's speaking about Kedushas HaZman throughout Parshas Emor and other places of the separation, the distinct nature of time and the Kedush Zman, whether it's Kedushas HaGuf, that each person is responsible to live a certain life of sanctity themselves. Sefer Vayikra, again, the theme is what is the role, what is the goal, what are the ambitions of the nation. And Sefer Bamidbar should have been about once we now have the Am, once we now have the goals of the Am, the Sefer should have been about us now traveling to the land of Israel. But the transition takes place in Parshas Balotzva, the transition from the optimism, the excitement, the feeling of, as Moshe Rabbeinu tells his father-in-law Yisro, Nosim Anachnu, we are moving forward to claim our destiny. And it seems that almost abruptly there's a transition, and the rest of Sefer Bamidbar, and really the next 39 years, becomes about disappointment and becomes about potential that's lost. It becomes about not fulfilling expectations. Becomes about the feeling of depression of the Am, the rebellion of the Am. And of course, that doesn't happen in just a blink of an eye. Of course, we understand that behind that diminishment, and that disappointment lies a nation that cannot get beyond their own beginnings as avadim. And that transition really takes place in the few prakim at the end of Parshas Balotza and the first couple prakim in Sefer Shlach, about 3.5 prakim total. Now you might ask somebody, well, when did that transition take place? And they would point to the faith of Meraglim, sin of the spies. But the reality is that turning point from the optimism to the disappointment takes place not at the beginning of Parshas Shlach Meraglim, but takes place in a much more subtle way at the end of Balotza. Because we know at the end of Balotza, it's clear that some shift has taken place. The nation, as we see at the beginning of Perikid Aleph, were misodinim, were plainers. There was the Astasuf, whoever they were, the Arab crowds that were asked to be. There were the nation coming together to say that the Parnus had the God, remember that we were like fish, that we were free from mitzvos. There's something that speak about the Am, the Bochel, the Mishpachotza, crying to their families, which one of the Yifazal means they're crying that that they now had restrictions in to see they couldn't have any relations with family members. We had the incident of Eldad and Medad, which perhaps on the surface appears to be a rebellion against Moshe. And the incident of the slouch and people being killed because of gathering the quail, they're complaining. The incident with Urim and Aroth. And because of all these incidents, we know that at the end of Perek Yud, we have the inverted Nun. And the Psukim by Heben Tzoa Haron were inserted or exist within those inverted Nuns. And the question is why? Why do we have those Psukim that are there sort of at the beginning of this process? So one of the things the Gemara and Shabbos, in the Rebbe, is that in fact, these psukim of Ayyibin Saharon, they belong in this place. They were not moved. They were not transported. But that these psukim of the travels of the Aaron are so significant that they were bracketed almost to make it its own sefer. And in fact, that opinion would say that there are not 5 Svarim Chumash, but there are 7 Svarim Chumash. Bereishis would be 1. Shmos, Vayikra, the beginning first 10 prakim of Amidbar would be the 4th sefer. Those 2 psukim are the 5th sefer. The 6th sefer of Chumash is second part, sefer of Amidbar. And then, of course, the Varm is the 7th sefer. And that these 2 psukim had its own status with everything that entailed as far as being part of a sefer Torah. But the other opinion, now it's a more famous opinion, is that these psukim were transported, imposed from the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar into right here. And the reason is to be mafsik, of course, to separate between the Baraniyos, the misdeeds, the evil incident that took place before the inverted Nut, and everything that took place after those Nuts. And the question could be asked, a number of questions, is first of all, why these psukim? And the thing that refers to many others dealt with, if we're going to move psukim from somewhere else and sort of dump them here at the end of Parshas Balotza, there would have to be a rhyme and a reason why these two psukim were chosen. Another question one can pose is why inverted nuts? Why not inverted something else? What was it about the nuns per se that they were used to bracket off these two psukim? Another question that a person can ask is it really true that we're always hesitant to be mafsik between Quranios? We have other incidents where we see that one idea is mentioned after another idea. In fact, in the very next barrack in Balotza, there are 3 or 4 incidents in a row. A person could ask, is it really true that the Torah is always makbid, is always careful to be mafsik and Peraniot? But the most obvious question is a question that the Gemara itself poses. Namely, we understand that the pronios that come after Vahibin Zaharon are the pronios of the Misonanim, people who were complainers, the people who were misled. But what happens before those inverted hoods? Seems like absolutely nothing is taking place. That's at all problematic. So, of course, Gemara answers that almost right before the inverted nuds, we have the pasuk of Vayisu Mehar Hashem, that they traveled from the mountain of God, Shloshes Yamim, for 3 days. And Chazal say that that is the first pranios. That is the first nefarious deed, the first action that is negative. And the obvious question is why? Why are the words Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they traveled from the mountain of God, why does something that in and of itself reflect pranios? So Rashi on the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tazayin, Rashi does not say this, Chumash. Rashi says something that has all the Meforshim scratching their heads. And the Ramban said in his very elegant way that these are Tzvarim Shaltema, these are difficult words. Rashi says that what Vayisu Mehar Hashem is alluding to is the incident of the Asafsus, the people who were complaining about the meat, the people who the Torah tells us, Hit'aivu Taiva, they had a strong desire. So essentially, according to Rashi, Rashi takes the second of the Peronios mentioned in Perek Yudal. The first one is the Mzonanim. The second one are those people who are Hit'aivu Taiva. And he transports them, he imposes that onto the Pasuk of Vayisu Mehar Hashem, which appears before Vayikra Tzaharon. And we understand very well why both the Rabban and Tosfos had a hard time with Rashi. Why would one say that Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they travel from the mountain of God, is referring to those people who desire meat? We understand that Rashi has a shita of a mutamu chabatorah, the Torah goes out of order. But why would Rashi assume that in this case we should go out of order? We should take that original pasuk of Yisrael Mehar Hashem and say that that's referring to the fact that people who wanted meat, which only appeared later. So for that reason and others, the Ramban and Tosfos, based on the Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni, based on the Yerushalmi, they say there's a totally different shot. And that shot is the very famous comment of the Medrash, namely that the children left the mountain, like the children who were running away at the end of Tizmat, at the end of the yeshiva, feeling, you know what, it's too much already. We have all of these mitzvos, we have all of these requirements. And therefore, literally, the Medrash, Yerushalmi, the Ramban, and Tosfos, they said they ran away, they escaped from the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's a Medrash that I'm sure is familiar to anybody listening to this shiur, the Medrash that I myself am familiar with for decades. But just this week, I started thinking about, to some degree, how unusual that Medrash is. And to some degree, how that Medrash, again, not being folic, not smooth Medrash, but it doesn't seem like it completely conveys the sentiments of the Pesukim itself. If, in fact, Bnei Yisrael ran away from the mountain in the way that children, the image of running away from school, sprinting away, turning their backs and leaving with gusto, perhaps saying things like, oh, thank God, throwing their caps and gowns into the air. So don't you think that the Torah would have expressed that and they would have phrased it in a way that was different than the words by Yisrael Mehar Hashem, because the Meforshim all struggles to figure out, how does Chazal know from the words of Vayisu Mehar Hashem that anything wrong was done at all? Right? Because all that is the words Vayisu Mehar Hashem. They traveled from the mountain of God. So the Maharshal says is that other places the mountain is referred to as Har Elokim. From the very fact that it's called Har Hashem here, shows that there's something different, shows they're running away from God himself. Perhaps other people can suggest that if it was just traveling away from the mountain, it would say Vayisu Mehar. Why does it have to say Mehar Hashem? So the implication is that they were leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, if this was something that was so bolet, it was so clear, it was so dramatic, as the words seem to imply, like children running away from the Beit Sefer, why would the Torah speak in a way that feels so subtle and so not clear and something that's much more low-key? And additionally, one can ask that Rash points out, the Medrash points out, that Vayusimei Har Hashem, Derech Shloshes Yamin, they traveled what should have been 3 days, but there was the nace of the Kfitzas HaDerech, the nace of the shortening of the road, because they wanted to get into the land of Israel, the Shbarach wanted to bring them into the land of Israel. Therefore, even though this should have been a trip of 3 days, it turned out to only be 1 day. Now, if in fact this running away from the mountain was so extreme, was so dramatic, was that image of the children running away from Har Hashem, would it make sense that in the midst of that redifa, in the midst of that escape, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to perform for them the nace of Kfitzas HaDerech, that the trip only took 1 day as a way of rewarding, helping, acknowledging the place that the Nesra were in? So for that reason, for those two questions, A, the subtlety of the language, the Nesra that occurred to the Nesra, I want to suggest that the turning away from the mountain, by Yisumei HaRashem, and just want to remind people of this word of Vayisa. In B'Shalach, we said, Daber La'am Vayisa'u, travel forward. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisro Nos Manachnu, here Vayisumei HaRashem, the travels, the movement, the statements of where the nation is at, are all conveyed by the words Vayisa, B'Nisoa, Nisiyos, Nosim, etc. And what I believe might be true is that the movement from Har Sinai was very subtle. It wasn't necessarily the image of the kid running away, whooping and hollering with joy from Beit Sefer, but maybe it was something that was much more low-key, understated, a feeling of, you know what, Baruch Hashem, I'm ready to move on, ready to move on to the next stage of life. It wasn't the boy who leaves the yeshiva after this man kicking the door on his way out, but it was just the boy who says, you know what, I want a break, I want to change, I'm tired of my schedule, in a very, very subtle way, in a way that is very understated. So much so, so understated, that instead of Rashi giving the Pashup shots like the Medrash, the Yushalmi, the other Rishonim, that by Yisumei HaRashem, or the children who ran away from school, Rashi had to say this was the people who were with Haifa. Rashi had to give an unusual shot because the shot of the Ramban and Tosfos, the Yushalmi, the Medrash, perhaps did not fit exactly. And maybe there wasn't a recognition of how meaningful that very subtle turning away was until afterwards. Meaning, when that first action, that first turning away, the Yisumei HaRashem, it didn't seem meaningful at the moment, so much so that the Shbarach Hu allowed for Kfitzas HaDerech. But in as much as we understand that a small shift in attitude or a small decision has hashlachot, has reverberations that become enormous, it was very clear that the small shift in attitude of Yisrael, of Yisumei HaRashem, increasingly led to the people who are the Mesodanim, the people who are with Taifa Taifa, the people who ultimately lost faith and believed the negative report of the spies. That which began suddenly as a subtle turn, not from Yisumei Har, but Yisumei HaRashem, suddenly, ended up developing much greater, much larger applications, reflections down the road. Now there's a beautiful mussar, a beautiful lesson, that it's often the very subtle turning towards or turning away that establishes a course, establishes direction. It's for that reason that the Pesukim by Yitzhak Aaron by Yomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo lecha v'yanusim esanecha mifanecha, was used to interject the King's Baranios. Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that every turn, every travel, leads a person in a direction. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as the leader, as the shepherd, as the teacher of the Am, every time the arrow moved, he would infuse that movement of the arrow with a statement of belief, and a statement of growth, and a statement of mission. That's something that B'nai Yisrael lacks. B'nai Yisrael, perhaps as they had their own Messiah, their own travel, they allowed that to be something which was even subtly negative, something that distanced them from a patriarchal. And again, how much do we see that in our own lives? A small decision that we make in our late teens or early 20s, and it seems so subtle at the time, both the ra, ulito, we realize afterwards the impact of that decision. A mida that perhaps we overlooked in a spouse, we realize was something that was enormous, both for good and for bad later on. The decision of where to send children for school, decision of how to budget time, all those small things that perhaps in the moment seems imperceptible, how that ends up growing and developing. Now we see that same idea of the power of nuance in the next parasha as well, Parasha Shlach. Mm-hmm. We showed and discussed what was the fate? What was the fate of the Meraglim? What was the sin of the spies? Doesn't seem to be anything that's so obvious. And we know that's a discussion between Rashi and the Ramban and many, many other Shonin. But the Ramban said it was the statement of the Meraglim of Ephes. And Ephes itself was not a very clear word. What does it mean? Is that something which is so belated, so clear? The answer is no. But the word Ephes just indicated a fundamental lack of bitachon of the Meraglim and ultimately of the nation. It was subtle, but Rosh Baruch Hu understood that the subtle beginnings of a lack of faith in the desert, in an environment infused with the Shechinas Hashem, what that can lead to when they enter into the land of Israel, when things would operate al piteva, based on nature, that small turn away of bitachon that Rosh Baruch Hu recognized as the beginning of the opening of the door of the downfall of the nation of Israel. And therefore, Vayisme HaRashem, very subtle, Ephes, very subtle. But again, it's often the subtle turning that establishes a direction for us, for our children, for our families to qualify. So we should be zochet to integrate the messages of our Avos, integrate the messages of Bayi Israel, integrate the messages of the value of every decision, small or large, that can hopefully lead us to a full geula and a full personal geula. Thank you.